As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places. Jewish and Christian scriptures and other sacred texts, the arts, sciences, nature, and our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. Today's wisdom comes from our own tradition. 20 years ago, Sarah Cook, a lifelong UU and member of this congregation, wrote a narrative about our history. And this reading is adapted from that piece entitled East Side Story. Thank you, Sarah. By the early 1990s, First Unitarian Society on the west side of town had more members than it could easily hold. The lay-led Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society to the south was thriving too. A few Madison UUs began to dream of a third place to worship and grow. At First Unitarian Society's parish meeting in November 1991, can you remember back that far? The congregation appointed an ad hoc committee on a third society. Its charge was to research the potential for a new church and report back in a year. The committee chair was Art Hackett. He and his wife Sharon Bogart had been tempted by the idea of a new church since the 1980s, partly because they had once been among the few couples at First Unitarian with small children. The committee also included Arthur Thexton, three other members of First, and a representative from Prairie. Now, should UUs expand eastward or westward? The committee examined two hypothetical locations, the corner of Century Drive and the Beltline in Middleton to the west, and the corner of Cottage Grove and Stoughton Road to the east. The west side offered a fast-growing, high-income population that matched traditional UU demographics. The east side offered greater economic and ethnic diversity, an advantage in the eyes of Hackett and Thexton, who both happened to live on the east side. In the fall of 1992, First Unitarian and Prairie approved the creation of a new congregation planning committee to establish an extension congregation on Madison's east side. Through the winter of 1992 and 93, interested participants met several times a month at the Atwood Community Center, which is now called the Goodman Community Center. It has been moved. And Thexton was the interim leader. Little Amelia Lardy was an infant, and she came with her parents as a visible testimony that children were welcome. The group established clear priorities: spirituality, social action, and the inclusion of children. They created a mailing list, started a newsletter, and adopted a mission statement, which I don't think has been changed since then. In addition, they agreed to ask the UUA and First Unitarian Society for a subsidy, phased out over 5 years, to help pay the salary of an extension minister to be appointed by the UUA. Now, about that minister, John Alu Johnstone liked new beginnings. As a student at Harvard Divinity School, she was attracted to extension ministry, helping a brand new congregation create its traditions and grow strong enough to stand on its own. Johnstone had entered Divinity School in 1990 and was in her last semester when the new Madison congregation applied for an extension minister. UUA officials showed her packets from three prospective churches. One had sent a notebook bursting with pictures and descriptions of what they wanted in an extension minister. An even slicker group sent a videotape and a 4-year budget projection. The packet for James Reeb Unitarian Universalist Church, by contrast, was laughably concise. A slim folder containing just 4 sheets of paper. But what came across from those scant sheets was enough for John Stone. A strong commitment to spirituality, social action, children, and diversity. This is the place for me, she thought. The church was informed of John Stone's appointment the week before its grand opening service, set for June 6, 1993. That was the bright spot in a week of frustration. The Moravian pastor who had volunteered the use of his church was overruled by his church at the last minute. Volunteers stood outside the Moravian church to redirect traffic to the Shank Middle School gym. That summer, the church met in a park shelter at Lake Edge Park near Cottage Grove Road. Over the weekend of July 9th through 11th, the Reverend John Stone and her partner Jane Powell came for a formal interview with the congregation. John Stone moved to Madison in August and led services in the park. Those were challenging, nomadic times. There was no meeting space, no office. A rumored briefcase of office supplies had been assembled and misplaced. Not to resurface until 4 years later. After 2 or 3 days of near panic, she relaxed. We're just going to make this happen. By fall, the church had a minister's office at the Atwood Community Center and an indoor meeting place. Now, does anyone know where that indoor meeting place was? Tenney Nursery and Parent Center. So it was September 1993, and the Tenney Nursery and Parent Center was renovating an old cab company building on Mifflin Street to convert it into a daycare center. Tenney needed rental income, and the church needed space for Sunday worship and religious education. It wasn't a perfect match. The day before the first service, a thick layer of construction dust covered every surface. The meeting room was not yet wired for electricity. John Stone and volunteers swept, scrubbed, and hung construction lights to make the room habitable for the Sunday 11 a.m. service. Fresh construction dust greeted worshipers each week until the daycare renovation was done. Some problems proved intractable. The meeting room was too small, by some estimates, seating 40 to 65 people comfortably. Sunday services opened with about 50 adults and sometimes approached 80, with an average of 63 over the year. And since Tenney Nursery and Parent Center wasn't designed for worship services, each service began and closed with a workout, hauling the folding chairs up and down 2 flights of stairs between the meeting room and a storage pallet in the basement. Raise your hand if you ever hauled those chairs. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So one day, one spring day in 1994, Art Hackett and Sharon Bogart were enjoying a walk when they noticed a for sale or rent sign on the Johnson Street building behind East High School. The former t-shirt screen printing Madison Top Company edifice was a mess. Inside, it was a dark, depressing maze. Beside it, the end of 4th Street, which served as a parking lot, was strewn with condoms and broken glass. The smaller lot in back had only 6 parking spaces. For all its flaws, the place might meet a need. The church had outgrown its space at Tenney and its patience for toting chairs or trying to keep the children's hands off toys. The minister needed an office nearer to services than the Atwood Community Center or her more recent office beside a podiatrist at the corner of Washington and First Street. What should the congregation do? Should it try to make its home in the Johnson Street building? And if so, should it buy or rent? The UUA strongly discouraged purchasing the building. The congregation was too new. It was too financially marginal for such a commitment. It could not even afford a down payment. Yet financial projections convinced the facilities committee that buying was cheaper than renting. The conflict was resolved at an impassioned congregational meeting in May 1994. Johnstone paced the back of the room, unsure whether to hope practicality or idealism would win the day. Then Ingrid Stark stood up. "What are we about?" she asked rhetorically. "This is a church. This is about faith." The vote to buy was unanimous.
Thank you, Karen. And so here we are today. We're skipping a little bit because, you know, time. Here we are today, 117 members strong, which is almost a 20% increase since I was called to serve here just 3.5 years ago. We've come a long way in our 25 years together. We've created a congregation in which we can hold each other through times we need strength and support. Welcome the stranger and acknowledge them as our neighbor, and focus on our relationships, and nurture all of these things in this space that we make sacred together. And there's more. We're not focused on just making ourselves better together. We reach out. We reach out in love and in action to try to make our community and our world a better place for everyone. The picture on the front of your order of service. Go ahead. It's a piece of the logo that Colleen O'Hara created for this year's budget drive. Thank you, Colleen. It shows three arrows with the words nurturing spirit, working for justice, and building community on them. Words that feel to me like they capture the essence of this congregation. And I'm struck by how close this is to the focus of our founders. Spirituality, social action, and the inclusion of children. There's so much that we do and are for each other in this community that I have a hard time imagining we get anywhere else in our lives. Where else but in communal, covenantal relationship, built and practiced in sacred space, can we learn to do the hard but important work of looking within and reaching out? In what other places in our lives do we get to practice opening ourselves to each other, trusting that we'll be held when we stumble or mess up? Where else do we get to practice forgiveness and compassion when we've done something harmful? What other places in our lives do we get to explore what it means to build our actions directly out of our beliefs and our values? And we get concrete and tangible things from being part of this sacred and beloved community. We get to bring our kids to a place where they'll be accepted for who they are, where they'll be taught values and ethics that will serve them for their entire lives. We get to be filled on Sunday mornings with music and words and community so that we're ready to meet the challenges of our week. We get the satisfaction of doing something worthwhile when we take part in actions that serve our community. We get to be cared for, and we get to feel how good it feels to take care of each other. And we get to have our vision widened and our strength renewed in those intersections of spirit and justice and community. I hope you will come to the cafe conversations that the ABD team is organizing so that you can get a chance to share your stories about what that means to you and hear what it means to the folks sitting in these seats around you. And I hope you'll consider that the Operating Budget Committee has created a draft budget that aims for a 9% increase in pledge income to support our collective ability to continue to live our values of providing fair compensation, caring for our building that we worked so unbelievably hard on, fostering the ethical and spiritual development of our children, and reaching out in love. On this day that we get to host the symbol of our living faith that's lit at all of our annual denomination-wide gatherings, we have a great opportunity to reflect on what it is that faith brings to us and to our world. I believe that Unitarian Universalism is a saving religion. You have heard me say this before. We offer something that is so sorely needed in this fractured and tired society, a way of being in the world that is open and loving and compassionate and smart, that pushes nobody aside, that draws the circle of inclusion ever wider until everyone is in it. Everyone. We are working both on our systems and in our hearts. We are working to heal the wounds caused by rampant individualism, by our cultures clinging to consumerism, by the oppressions created and perpetuated to favor the progress of some of us over the rest, by the harm caused to all of us by white supremacy culture and patriarchy and heteronormativity and everything else that is drummed into us, and to hold each other in both compassion and accountability while we work. We're doing this work because we believe that every person is important, that all people should be treated fairly and have a say in what happens, that we should learn together, that we're all connected to each other and everything around us. And I believe this congregation is a place where we practice the very best of Unitarian Universalism. Grounded in these beliefs, we do nurture spirit. We do work for justice. We do build community. We have in this congregation what we need to heal. What we need to heal ourselves, our community, and our world. We need each and every one of us to do everything we can to keep moving that healing among each other and outward. And so, we need each and every one of us to look into our financial situations and commit to pledging as much as we can to keep this congregation in that work. It's like Ingrid Stark said when we were talking about whether to buy this building, what are we about? This is a church. This is about faith. I've heard that statement echoed several times already in my short time here with you, most notably when we voted to adopt our statement of conscience on racial justice, and another this past May when we voted to become a sanctuary congregation. We are all that we have. And everything we do and everything we dream comes from us. May it be so. May we be so.